Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody, again. Welcome to the Legends podcast here on Eurosport. I'm Mats Wilander, and of course, I'm always joined by Boris Becker, former Wimbledon champion. Boris, how are you doing?
I am very well. Mats, greetings from London to Idaho, no? That's where you're sitting.
That's where I'm sitting, and I can't believe how many people are watching you, watching at Wimbledon Centre Court there, or that's not live. Where is that, a poster in your bedroom?
Yeah, that's a background that I have plastered all over. I had a lot of time in my hands lately, and I plastered it all over my flat, so I feel at home.
Bad memories for me. And we're also very, very excited to be joined by two players. First, Elina Svitolina, number 5 in the world. Couple of semifinals last year. Hi, Elina. How are you?
Everything is good. Well, at home, but everything is fine.
Yeah, I've seen you very busy on social media, trying to find different ways to work out. And I believe you're working on your virtual tennis as well. And, of course, we have a former great Feliciano Lopez in Madrid. Feli, how's it going? Are you a former player or are you a current player? I can never figure it out with you.
No, man, I'm still active.
You're still active. There you
yes.
go.
Wow. Yes, even though we're not allowed to play now, but... Yeah, I'm still active. I'm really looking forward to hit some tennis balls. I don't know.
Yes, Feli. Nice to see you. In fact, you're very active. You've done 72 consecutive Grand Slams. I did some research with this year's tennis. It's a world record holder and counting. Obviously, you can't play the French at Wimbledon this year, but you are a title holder of the Queen's Club in singles and doubles, and I'm sure you're going to miss that part of the season. Grass was always your favorite.
Yes. It's been very sad, you know. Well, all the cancellations, you know. We had to cancel also Madrid, where I am the tournament director. And following Madrid, it's been the, you know, the grass season canceled. Everything was canceled. And I don't know what's going to happen with the US Open, you know. Probably they will make an announcement soon. But yes, for me, the grass season, it's also, you know, something very special. It's been, last year, it's been amazing what happened to me at Queens, winning, you know, singles and doubles with Andy. It's been very special. So I really missed it, and hopefully, you know, I'll be able to play again in 2021. Who knows?
I love it. Feli, I love it. I love it. But so Elina, for you, you come off maybe the best year on tour for you last year, I would say, with two semifinals, Wimbledon and the US Open. How does this break kind of affect your a passion, maybe your confidence? I mean, what how do you feel? Are you worried about your tennis game in the future?
Well, I wouldn't say there would be my best season last year. I think in 2018 was pretty good as well. But regarding Grand Slams, for sure it was very good and very high level. I've been struggling a little bit with my knee last year. So this year, you know, I was just getting back on the track with my game and with the mental state as well. So it was a little bit sad for me because I just won the tournament in Mexico, and going into Indian Wells, I was in a very good form, and we had to stop. And I think for everyone, it was a big shock, and everyone is trying to keep busy and we still don't know when we're going to resume the play, but now we have some some different entertaining as a virtual tennis as well, which keeps your mind in tennis. So that's another great thing. So yeah, just trying to find the ways to stay active, and that's pretty much what doing every single day.
Elena, you are one of the few players that actually won her last match, the tournament in Monterrey. I'm sure you were on your way to Indian Wells when you heard the bad news. So how are you coping with the lockdown? What is your routine? I can see, as Matt said, some of the videos you do keeping fit with your boyfriend on TikTok. That's quite funny. But how are you keeping fit otherwise? You're playing a little bit of tennis or nothing at all?
No, I'm not playing any tennis because in Switzerland you're not allowed, and pretty much going to play against the wall is also very strict. It depends on the place where you are in which city, but I try to create like a routine for myself. So every morning I try to do some exercise. I record it and I post it on Instagram so people can get into it. And I think being engaged with the fans and with people who love tennis, I think it's nice to see what the tennis players, what they do, and how they keep their body in shape. And Gael is pretty much all the time is playing PlayStation. So I have to create my own routine, and sometimes he's joining in to keep me motivated.
Yeah, Feli, I've got to ask you, because this virtual tennis tournament is coming up. I'm not sure it wasn't your idea, but everybody is playing this virtual tennis. What is your thinking? What's your idea about everybody so busy on the virtual tennis?
Let me tell you, it was Gerard Sobanian, you know, our CEO, who came up with this, you know, beautiful initiative. And it is based on two things. I think the first one is to give the fans something now where, you know, everything, there's no tennis around the world. They don't see tennis on TV either, because there's nothing happening at the moment. So we give them the chance to watch their favorite players, even though it's a virtual thing, but they're going to be able to watch them. You know, there's going to be a lot of interaction with the players. There's going to be some, you know, commentating as well during matches, interviews. We're trying to do something very, very real, I would say, or at least close to the real thing. Okay. So, and then we have also the charity thing, which is very nice. I think we are encouraging the players to give, you know, most of the prize money to this fund that ATP and WTA have created recently to help those players that they are ranked beyond 150. So it was based on two things, and I think it's a great initiative, and we're really looking forward. The feedback was amazing, as Elena was, you know, saying, no? She's already practicing, Gael also, and the players are really pumped, you know, and really looking forward to play, even though it's a virtual thing, but we are very happy so far.
Okay, Boris, I know you have something, but I got to ask you a question. Elena, are we going to see you serving and volleying, and Gael coming to the net, and I mean, are the styles going to be similar to what you normally play?
Well, we've been playing a little bit against each other, and he just killed me. So this didn't change, you know, from real to virtual. But there is very interesting, you know, you can choose, you know, the tactics, and I think you just have to find a way, and everyone is going to be doing a different tactics, I guess. So it's going to be really interesting. And as Feliciano said, you know, to have interviews and interactions with fans during your play, it's a great engagement, and definitely something very entertaining, I would say.
All the players, so all the characters in the game, they will have the same skills.
Okay.
So this way we make it very fair.
Okay. So Novak will have his backhand.
give us the list. Who entered the Madrid Virtual Open on the male and the female side? And Elena, if... Philly first. Yeah. Who's playing?
So we have, on the men's side, we have Rafa, we have Tsitsipas, Tiafoe, Schwartzman, we have Gael, we have Thiem, we have Kachanov, we have, who else do we have? Isner.
Oh, wow.
We have a good lineup, a very good lineup. On the women's side also, yeah. We have Elina, Azarenka, Vekic. We have so many players. I mean, we are very happy that the feedback so far, it was so good because this is something new.
Yeah.
And we didn't know. We had a lot of concerns about it, you know. And And so far, we are very happy with the feedback that we got from the players.
Is it true, Feli, that Andy Murray was trying to enter the virtual competition, but he wasn't let in, so he had to pick another player on his spot?
Well, Andy, you know, he's so competitive, you know, and he's been practicing already, I think, a week since the first day we sent him the game. The issue was that he was trying to download the game, and somehow he couldn't. So then he said, "Hey, Feli, I'm trying to download the game and for some reason I cannot." So I called the guy, you know, the technical guy that trying to speak to Andy to solve the problem. And finally he said, "You know, it's not so expensive, the game. I buy the game and I start practicing, man. I don't want to wait anymore."
That's funny. And yeah. Elina, you're also participating. If you had to choose a player, who would you want to be on the Madrid Virtual Open and why?
Well, I've been always playing with Gael because Gael is in the game. So this is pretty much I'm obliged to choose this player. But I've been playing against Roger, against Dimitrov. And I would say, you know, Roger is very... very, very good.
Surprise, very surprise. Yeah.
Very tough to beat. So, yeah, I've been playing only with Gael.
Okay.
I was
not so sure about the girls, you know, because they don't play video games. So far it's been great. I mean, I saw Kiki Vertens. She was also practicing a few days ago. She posted something on social media. So it's really good for us that they've been, you know, getting ready.
Okay.
So I see the girls there all the time practicing.
Really?
Yeah, I wanted to ask Elina, now you bring up practicing. I mean, to be a good virtual tennis player, there's Bjorn Borg calling, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, he's practicing virtual tennis. We're going to start a senior tour, too.
Junior, no, yeah.
I have no idea. I've never played virtual tennis. I don't do video games. I used to do something called Game Boy. Remember, Boris came out in the 80s. But how much do you have to practice virtual tennis to be sort of like the level of Gael, Elina? Is it an hour a day? Is it 3 hours a day? I mean, you have to practice this game.
Well, I think it's a lot of it of the skills and reactions. Yeah. I think for sure there's timing, which matters a lot. He's playing all the time FIFA and different kind of games, so he's kind of used to the PlayStation. But I think if you practice maybe a few hours a day, you can get a few games, that's for sure. Okay. And I think it's just important to not get too frustrated, because if you get too frustrated, straight away you lose, you know, you miss press and you don't move so well. So I think it's important, you know, to keep your mind positive.
Yeah. Philippe, as a tournament director of Madrid, on Monday this week, there was a conference call with Andrea Gaudenzi, the new CEO of the ATP. Give us an update of what you can share with us about scheduling, which tournament are still in the calendar, and what's his opinion about the summer and ultimately the US Open?
Well, right now it's more about, you know, US Open, when they are going to announce... you know, if finally we can play there, maybe the tour will be able to resume, but I'm not very positive, to be honest, Boris. I think tennis is a very global sport where there's players from everywhere in the world, where there is tournaments everywhere in the world as well. And I think the fact that some countries have different restrictions than others, so this is going to make, you know, things very, very difficult in order to resume. I mean, I think the tour is going to be open when the world is completely, you know, open and everybody can travel freely around the world. So we make it fair, because if, for example, in September, me being Spanish, I'm not able to travel, let's say, to America, or let's say I have to be in quarantine as soon as I get there. It's not fair that some players, they will have the chance to compete, some other players, they don't have the chance to compete. So I think it's about the world to be open. This is the key. I don't see the tour resuming if this doesn't happen in two, three months time.
I was going to ask you, because obviously we've heard that Wimbledon pulled out pretty quickly. We heard something about insurance payout and whatnot. Are you guys, Feli, are you guys involved? Are you sitting down talking to the other tournaments? The French Open came out and said, we're going to stage our tournament in September. That seemed to be before anyone else said anything. I mean, is there talk going on? Of course, Roger Federer tweeted that he thinks the ATP Tour, the WTA Tour should maybe join forces. This would be a good time to start something new. I mean, where is the cooperation and where do you? Feli first, and then Elina, I would like to hear from you if you hear anything from WTA and do they keep you connected? But Feli, any cooperation with the Grand Slams and WTA Tour?
Well, I think there's a lot of going on at the moment. I think it is true that this is the moment to unite forces. I agree. And to have everyone, you know, together. I think this is the main goal of Andrea Gaudenzi. When he took over as a president, he said that his goal is to have everyone together. Yeah. ITF, Grand Slams, players, tournaments, WTA, ATP. I think this is our main goal right now in tennis. And so far, we are waiting for the US Open to make the announcement. And Madrid, talking about Madrid, we have a small chance to play in September if we are allowed. First of all, if Spain gets better, we might have a chance to do it, because as you know, the French Open supposed to be played in September, and they want to have a few clay tournaments before that, and it's Madrid and Rome, the thousands that they supposed to be played before the French. But right now we are waiting, you know, until the situation it's really, you know, different, because right now at the moment we cannot make any plan. It's day by day.
Sure.
And we have to be really, you know, patient. I mean, there's nothing we can do. We have to wait. And I'm not very positive, to be honest. I told Boris now that we need the world to be open. Until this is happening, I don't see the tour, you know, resuming.
Yep. Mm. Elina, where is your are you getting updates all the time? And what's the WTA tour thinking?
Yeah, we're getting updates pretty much every another day. And we have meeting, like tomorrow we have a big meeting. And for sure, as you mentioned earlier, we will talk about that Roger and Rafa, they proposed, you know, to join. And I think this is the right thing to do for both. And it's the right time to do it, because in this difficult time, it's very tough to predict. And there's lots of talks going on about the tournaments, the cancellations. And also, I think a lot of it depends on the countries. And it's very tough to predict what's going to happen. But I think in tennis world, everyone should unite, and that's my opinion.
Yeah.
No. Freddy, you mentioned that earlier briefly with a fund, with a money fund created by Federer, Nadal, and Djokovic. Could you go in detail what that means, what that entitles to support rank players ranked 150 below? And Andy Murray mentioned something yesterday about when the tour resumes to cut the prize money for the winners and the finalists and semifinalists and give more money to the first, second, third rounds.
Yes, well, about the fund, yes, this is, I think ATP, they were planning to do something about it. And since everything is canceled, they've been, trying to support those players ranked, beyond 150. And yes, so there is many ways to contribute to this fund. The first one was the ATP itself, that I think they already have money there from tournaments. And, then there is another way that the top 100 players we're gonna donate also, depending on the ranking. So it's going to be nearly a million, I think, because it's the minimum is 5,000.
And you wouldn't do it after prize money. So Federer, Djokovic, Nadal both have more than $100 million prize money. Obviously, the number 100 is a lot lower. So isn't this category?
Yes, it's minimum is 5,000 up to 30,000 or 40,000.
Okay.
For the number 1, 2, and 3 in the world, I guess. And then from 5 to 10, from 10 to 20, 20 to 50, I think, and 50 to 100, more or less, I think. And then also we're trying with the virtual thing to contribute as well. So it's 300,000 more that we are hopefully, if the players, they're generous, they're going to have in the fund as well. So there's a lot of people now trying to support the fund and to make it bigger for these, players that they are struggling right now.
Yeah. You worry about tennis a little bit, and obviously you've been a very successful player, and everybody that's within the top 100 the last couple of years doesn't have to worry this year. But the other 1,000 professionals that we have, they can't play, and they need every week's prize money to survive. You worried a little bit that tennis could have a big break between players that can afford to play tennis and players that have to find a new job.
Of course. I mean, the situation, Boris, it's really tough. I mean, all over the world, we will see a lot of, tournaments, struggling to survive. And I think our focus in general has to be to survive from 2021 onwards, because the crisis is going to be huge. The small tournaments, somehow they have to survive. Maybe the slams, the bigger tournaments, somehow they have to contribute to support them. I don't know. There's many ways to help, but I think instead of, thinking about playing 4, 5, 6 tournaments at the end of this year, I think we have to start thinking about next year and how we're going to be able to survive this crisis. Because everybody's going to be struggling economically, the tournaments, the sponsors. Because the first thing they cut in the companies is the sponsoring.
Yeah.
Because they have to fire thousands of employees in many companies around the world, and the first thing they cut is the sponsoring. So if we don't have sponsors, how can we survive? So I think our focus has to, our efforts and focus. I will say we need to be very, very focused on 2021 instead of trying to play a little bit these years, because the year probably after the US Open is canceled is gonna be gone probably. No, this is my opinion. I don't know.
Yeah.
We saw an interesting topic or interesting discussion with Novak Djokovic and Fabio Fognini. And Elina, I'd like to know from you. I mean, they found out that the average age of a tennis fan is somewhere around 60 years old. So the people that watch at home on TV, the people that come to the tournaments, the average age is very high. What do you, Elina, think that we you guys could do? Is it a combination of the two tours? What can we do to attract younger fans and younger players? Is it too expensive to watch tennis live? Tell me if WTA and you have any ideas of how we go forwards.
Well, I think it's very surprising for many players and for many people to see the statistics, because I think in many tournaments you see lots of young players. I think it's a lot also depends because our tournament is from Monday until Sunday, and if you're playing in big city, the kids, they're going to school. So sometimes it can be challenging, I would say, for them. So obviously it's more of like older people who are watching until the weekend, when the parents can bring their kids to tennis. So maybe, you know, there is this kind of thing is also matters. But to be fair, it's very tough thing to say, because I think a lot of fans are involved in tennis and supporting us. So it's tough to say from my side.
Elena, you have a new coach this year, Marco Bagdatis, who played on the tour until last year. Are you in contact with him? What are you talking about at the moment? And why did you choose him? I mean, he's a very popular guy, and I always love watching him. But why did you choose him?
Well, I knew Marcus for a long time. We played in the same team with him in India, and I got to know him very good at that time. And we were always trying to stay in touch, and he was helping me a lot. And in 2019, we decided, when he stopped, you know, I was asking him for a long time to help me, but he wanted to finish his career and to, you know, to do it properly 100%. Mm. And then we decided to start to work together, and we did the season together, and he went with me to Australia. It was very good experience for me. I really enjoyed the time with him, and I think it helped me to realize where I am with my tennis, and I think it's really gave me the confidence to play some matches where, you know, I thought that might not don't have to win. So I think he gave me the confidence to see where I am, and with my coach, with Andy Battles, I think we had a good team. Unfortunately, we had to stop with Marcus because he needed to stay with his family.
Yeah.
So in that time, we didn't know that this is gonna happen, and we had to stop this season. So we'll see. Maybe in the future, you know, it would be nice to have him in my team again.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah, Feli, tell me, you guys, both of you, but how long is it going to take for a player to get back to, let's say, where you guys were last year in July, August, or in the middle of a season? How long is it going to take you from now, physically, technically, in terms of hitting the ball? Confidence, obviously, is not going to be there because we haven't played matches. But in terms of the physical part of being a professional tennis player, how many hours of practicing would it take to get back?
I think it's going to be tough, Mats. I haven't played since Indian Wells. It's so far my longest period without hitting a tennis ball in my life.
Wow. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it's only 2 months. And I've never been 2 months without playing since I started, you know, playing professional tennis. So now I exercise myself every day a little bit, but honestly, I do it just more because I feel better, and it's something like I do for my mental health, you know. But I feel better afterwards, because honestly, I don't know when I'm gonna be playing tennis again. Yeah. It might be September, October, might be January next year. So in a way, I'm confident that whenever the tune is gonna be, you know, resuming, I will have time enough to prepare myself physically. So right now it's more about, you know, exercise yourself, stay healthy also mentally, and you know, start off the day with another mood, you know, because every day is the same now. It doesn't matter if it's a Sunday or if it's Wednesday. It's every day the same. So you need routines, you need to exercise a bit, you need to do things in order to be, you know, mentally, in order to be mentally okay and not to go crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you are one of the fittest players on the tour. The last time I checked, did you finally gain a couple pounds to be like me, or you're still in shape? And how is your coach Pato doing? I know we all share a big love of poker, and you guys always call me all in. So how is Pato holding up?
He's doing great. He's doing great. I mean, I'm gonna try to organize a virtual poker tournament.
Please.
So we can play. Come on, Boris.
Yes.
How does it sound to you?
I'm happy. Anything to kill a couple of hours at the moment.
Yes, I agree. I agree with you. I agree.
Super. Mm.
Elena, how are you? How are you feeling? What's your take? Are you gonna feel like you have an easy time getting back physically? I mean, we tend to think that players like Roger Federer just like, oh, he just pick up the racket and there he is. He's Roger Federer, but for you, Elena, is it going to take a month or 2 months or what is it?
Well, I think it's going to take 1 month just to get back in hitting. And then for sure you need a lot longer. I think it all depends on every player is going to have their own time to get the confidence back and the tournament mindset and just to get back into your routines, because I think for everyone it's been the longest, I mean, most of the people, the longest time that they haven't touched the racket. So I think it will take time, and I think everyone is going to be pretty much in the same conditions. So that's a good thing.
Lena, you're currently number 5 in the world. Are you on a WhatsApp group with the other top 10 players? You feel your sorrows and you know, situation at the moment, or you keep a distance like most other competitive players? Or you're all in the same boat.
Well, we have meetings every Friday with all WTA players and
all of them, not just the top 10.
Yeah, top 10 we have a group as well, and we are talking, as we were talking before, about the fund, what can be improved, also what are, you know, the how we can help other players, and there's lots of questions, and with Steve Simon, that's we have the group, and we are trying to find out what's the best way to help players and what we can do.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, it's tough. What because we're trying to, I mean, we get the questions pretty often anyway, but who's it gonna benefit? I mean, tough for Novak Djokovic, who came out and played so well in Australia, and then he doesn't get to play. The young players, I mean, Lena, are you consider yourself a young player these days? You've been on
tour. Not anymore.
You've been on tour for so long. I know Feli, you're still very young.
Come on, then. But, if you're not young, what about me then?
But tough for the young players that are trying to break through to get a 6 months or whatever it is, just to stop. You can't go any further. So, I mean, uncertainty. I don't even know how you guys are thinking. It's so weird.
It's so weird, Matt. This is something very new, and there's many questions and very few answers for the questions. Mm. We don't know what's gonna happen. And as you said, it's a lot of uncertainty right now. We don't know the governments. They seem to be lost. They don't know what to say to their people, and it's really tough to predict. I don't know. I mean, I wonder how many players they've been able to hit tennis balls in the last 2 months. Mm. There's countries where I know that there's players that they've been able to play a little bit in private courts. There is probably players that they have their own private court at home. In Spain, for example, it's literally impossible to hit. Right. All the clubs are closed, and unless you have a private court at home, you don't have a chance to play. So I think more or less we're going to be in the same situation, and this is going to be affecting everyone.
Yeah.
So I see a big risk. I see a big risk because when tennis is going to resume, it's going to be a lot of injuries. And because I think this is something that we have to keep in mind to have, you know, at least 2 months to prepare and to work on your fitness condition to be ready, because this is going to be probably 6, 7, 8 months that no tennis for everybody. Yeah. So when you start playing again, you need to be aware of the injuries and you really need to take care of yourself. And,
yeah, agree.
Alina, there's a problem in tennis, as we spoke earlier. Obviously, it's an international sport, but the biggest problem we're all facing is the social distancing rule. Now, in tennis, you have a net and you have 2 players. They're far enough. So how, what do you think about your opinion of maybe starting a couple of tournaments without spectators? So at least we get the ball rolling, even though it's not perfect, but not everybody can participate, but you know, half the players could.
Well, for sure, this can be an option, but I think for us as a player, it's very tough because I think fans are making a huge impact on our performance. They motivate us, they support us, and you're playing pretty much for them when it's tough moments. It's you know, they cheer you up, and you know you get that extra energy. So it's in this side, for sure, it's gonna be very tough for players, and it's almost like playing lower tournaments, like when you go back to ITFs. For sure, you know, the level is maybe not 100% there because there's no people watching, and sometimes when you are down, you go even lower with your mood because you're playing almost for no one. So that's gonna be for sure much tougher, I would say, for players. But if for safety, that's what has to be done, and for sure to resume slowly the play if it has to be done. That's you know, I think the way forward.
Boris, think that we got to thank you guys so much, Feli and Alina. Thank you so much for being part of it. Hope you are somehow staying sane and keep active as much as you can. Stay home. And I don't even know what to say. Good luck for the next few days. But Feli, any last words? Thank you again. Great to see
you. Thank you, guys. It's been great to talking to you. To Alina as well, good luck in the tournament.
Thank you.
And to Boris, thank you. It was a great chat with you guys. And let's see if we can do it again soon.
Absolutely. Thank you, Feli and Alina. Vamos. Let's go.
Vamos. Thank you very much, guys.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.